Well, it's got to be this way, right?
Yes.
Okay, and I'm going to give the verse, and then as soon as I say go, I want you to go ahead and look for it. And the first one that can find it, hold it up high. Come on, hold it up high. Adam, I don't see that big Bible. All right? He's got... the wife took it, all right? And anyway, hold your Bible up like this. And when I give you the verse and reference, I'm going to say go. And then the first one to find it, I want you to stand up. All right? All right, so here we go. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Ready? Go. Right here. Go ahead, read it all. All right, I want everybody to turn there. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Good job. Acts 4 and verse number 12. And I want everybody to read it with me. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to read verse number 8 through verse number 12. And when we get to verse number 12, I want you to read verse 12 with me, all right? But let me go ahead and begin in verse number 8. Now, the context to this, we find that in the chapter number 3, there was a man that was healed. And Peter and James went into the temple during the hour to pray, and there was a man that was there at the gate that was called Beautiful. And this man was lame. He had never been able to walk. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." He must have been a Baptist. And so he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but that which I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And so then it says that he reached down and lifted him up. Listen, there are some times we need to have some aid to our faith or help other people to believe. And so here the disciples, they reached down to help him up and lift him up. And the man was made whole and he was able to walk. And then the people began to accuse the disciples of all kinds of heresy, chapter number 4. And Peter and James were actually thrown into jail overnight. And then they brought him out and they said, "Who gives you this power? And who give you this authority?" Look what it says in verse number 8. When I get to verse 12, I want you to read it with me. All right? It says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." Now everybody read it with me. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now I want you to notice, Peter said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Whereby we must be saved. And today I want to bring you folks a lesson entitled "Must." Must. Matter of fact, I've got some flashcards up here that we're going to end up using. And the very first letter is the letter M. And we're going to talk about must and we're going to spell it out and find out what the word must really stands for or what the word must really means. You know, there are some things in life that just really aren't a must. Now, my wife, we moved and we lived in a little bit nicer neighborhood than where we used to live. And my wife was always on me. She says, "You got to get out there and mow the grass." And boy, she just cracks the whip. "You got to get out there. Crack, you know, cracking the whip. Get out there and mow the grass. What's the neighbors going to think if you don't mow the grass?" You know, there's a lot of things in life that you must do. But I'll be honest with you. I don't have to mow the grass. Now, it's going to be hard if I let it go 2 or 3 weeks and then I'll have to bale hay. You know what I'm talking about? But you know, eternity is not based upon the fact whether or not I mow grass. Now, making a happy wife, now that's another story. I might have to mow the grass. And, you know, I can go ahead and go all summer long and never cut my grass. And I'll not lose my salvation. Now, I might not have a happy home and a happy wife, but you know, there are some things that really are not musts in life. I remember when I started teaching Sunday school. My Sunday school, or my pastor at the time said, Rick, if you're going to teach Sunday school, there is a rule here for our Sunday school teachers. We want to be the best representative of the Lord Jesus Christ as possible. I says, oh, okay. He said, you need to wear a necktie. I says, I don't even own a necktie. He says, if you're going to teach Sunday school here, we are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so therefore, as an ambassador, a dignitary from a foreign country, that's who we are. And that's who Sunday school teachers are. And we are representing the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, you ought to look the best you can. He says, you need to wear a necktie. I thought that was important. So I went out, I went to Kmart and bought a whole bunch of neckties and started wearing neckties. But you know what? My salvation is not based upon whether or not I wear a necktie. Amen. But here's the thing. It was a must for that pastor that all of his teachers wore neckties. I think if you're going to, I've adopted that philosophy here at Grace Baptist Church. You're going to teach Sunday school class. Fellas, you need to wear a necktie. Amen? Why? You say, why is it important? Well, it's not, your salvation isn't based upon it, but we are representing the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's be the best we can be. Amen? And that was the impression that he left upon me. And so that there are some things that just really aren't a must in life. You know, there are some things that, like for example, wearing a suit and tie. Well, it's not a must. Matter of fact, if you go over to the Philippines, it's hot over there. A lot of the preachers, they have these big baggy shirts that they wear and a pair of khakis and no neckties, no suits. And I'm thinking, man, I'd like to preach in the Philippines and just not have to wear that stuff. And it's just too hot. But you know, there are some things that are not a must. Young people, listen to me. We all think we want to get our way, don't we? I've got to get my way or I'm going to make everybody miserable. By the way, I shouldn't just be saying that to teenagers. I should be talking to adults about that, shouldn't I? If I don't get my way, I'm going to make my wife, I'm going to make my husband, I'm going to make everybody around me, I'm going to make my pastor just absolutely miserable if I don't get my way. I must have my way. You know, the bottom line is, none of us really have our way. God allows us to have some blessings in life. But the bottom line is, none of us really get our way. But I want you to notice there are some things that are just an absolute must. Now hold your Bible in Acts chapter number 4. We're going to get back to that. But look over at Luke chapter number 12, if you would please. In Luke chapter number 14, and I want you to follow along with me in verse 26 and 27. There are some things that are a must. Jesus said this. He said, if you're going to be my disciple, I don't think he's talking about being saved. The word disciple means a follower. If you're going to be my disciple, there are some musts that need to take place. He said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and his wife and his children and his brethren and his sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. In other words, this. If you're going to be my disciple, you must have a single heart towards the Lord. Your love for God must supersede any love you have for any human being. That is a must. And I'm not talking about being saved. I'm talking about being a disciple for the Lord Jesus Christ. Your love must supersede, the love for God must supersede your love for your mother, your love for your father, your love for your children, your love for your job, your love for your dog. Amen? Love for your cat. We need to go ahead and have a love for God that's higher than any of those things. So that's a must if we're going to be a disciple. In the next verse it says this, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So the second thing Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, he said, I want you to understand this. He said, you must be willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. The cross was a symbol of suffering. It was a symbol of suffering. The people in those days, they understood what the cross was because the Roman soldiers would crucify people and a horrible death that people would watch these people suffer and die. And Jesus said this. He said, if you're going to be my disciple, you need to pick up your cross and follow me. So number two, there need to be willing to suffer for Jesus Christ. And then he said, follow me. A person, if they're going to be a disciple, number three, they need to be willing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow him. I have decided to follow Jesus, the song says. And then number four, it says in verse number 33 of the same chapter, Luke chapter 14, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, cannot be my disciple. You've got to be willing to forsake all in order to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And people say, well, you know what? I'll go ahead and serve God, but I'm not going to go to Africa and be a missionary. Then you can't be his disciple. Well, I'll go ahead and I'll follow the Lord, but I'm not going to go to Bible college. Then you can't be his disciple. Maybe God doesn't want you to go to Bible college, and maybe God doesn't want you to go to Africa, but God wants you to be willing to do whatever he tells you to do. Amen? And so we need to understand that Jesus talked about some musts. There are some musts of discipleship. I really believe, now listen, young people, moms and dads, in order to have a successful marriage, there needs to be some musts in your life. I believe if you're going to have a successful marriage, you need to be faithful. That is a must. You need to be loving and caring. That is a must. If you're in a marriage and there is no love and there is no care, listen, it's not going to be a successful marriage. I really believe that if we're going to have a successful marriage, there needs to be providing. And the husband needs to provide for his wife. And by the way, it doesn't stop right there, but the wife needs to render unto her husband due benevolence and show loving and care towards her husband. Right. It's a two-way street. And so if we're going to have a successful marriage, there are some musts that go along with it. And then if also, listen, if you're going to be a successful parent, there is going to be some musts that need to go right along with it. Now, you can be a parent, and I know anybody can parent, or excuse me, be a mother or a father to a child. They can give birth, but that doesn't mean that they're going to be a successful parent. And if you're going to be a successful parent, you're going to end up instructing your children to, number one, obey. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's a right thing. You know, I think that we do injustice to our children when we do not instruct our children to do the right things. Like what? Like, for example, pick up your clothes, make your bed, pick up your toys. A mom or a dad does great injustice to their children by going behind them and cleaning up after them the whole time. You need to instruct your children to go ahead and do those things, to be obedient. And if you're going to be a successful parent, you're going to instill into your children that which is right and that which is wholesome and that which is good. But also to be a successful Christian. I'm not talking about being saved. The word Christian, I preached a message a number of months ago, are you a Christian? I got some people mad at me and they haven't been back since. Because I said, you can be saved, but not be a Christian. Because the word Christian means Christ-like. And I know a lot of people that have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and they are not Christ-like. They have no desire to be Christ-like. After Jesus died for them on the cross and shed His blood for them, and they have no desire to follow the Lord, I don't understand that. But if I'm going to be a successful Christian, I need to read my Bible. If I'm going to be a successful Christian, and you'll never be a successful Christian unless you read your Bible. If you're going to be a successful Christian, you need to pray. If you're going to be a successful Christian, you need to go to church. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. If all you do is sit home and stay away from the house of God, it's not going to be too long where you're not going to be doing anything for God. And we need to understand that as a child of God, if I'm going to be a successful Christian, I must pray, I must read my Bible, I must go to church, I must give. You see, as I give to the Lord, it helps me to understand how God has given to me. And I'll never understand the love of God until I start giving to the Lord's work. I must give if I'm going to be a successful Christian. Matter of fact, he even tells us that he will open up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing that there's not even room enough to receive it. He says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosoms. I want you to picture a bushel basket. How many of you have ever seen a bushel basket? Kids, have you ever seen a bushel basket? Usually they got a big basket filled full of apples or other things. And I want you to picture somebody pouring a bunch of wheat or corn inside of a bushel basket. And it fills up. If you take that bushel basket and you shake it, it all kind of settles down, and then you pour some more in. And if you want to, you can get on top of that bushel basket and jump up and down on it and stomp it down a little bit. You can pour a little bit more in. That's what God says in Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 38. I will never understand the blessings of God and how God blesses and how God works until I learn to give. You must, if you're going to be a successful Christian, you must live for the Lord. Not self. There are some things we must do. Now listen, in the context of this passage of Scripture, Acts 4:12, go back there and turn there if you would please. I know that you were back in Luke. Look back at Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 12. Now I'm going to need some people to help me. All right, I've got four letters. And let's see, Merrick. Will you help me with this? See, M stands for Merrick, right? All right, I want you to come right up here and stand right here. And hold that. His name is Merrick, all right? Just like the bank and just like the drugstore or the drug company and just like, what else? What? The dog food. All right. I never knew that. But M, what does M really stand for? The Bible says, neither is there salvation, say it with me, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Well, what does the letter M really stand for? What does the word must really stand for? Well, I'm going to give you kind of an acrostic and help you to understand what the word must mean. What does it mean in this verse? Here this is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In the context of this passage of Scripture, the must, the M stands for mandatory. It stands for mandatory. I want everybody to say that with me. M stands for mandatory. If something is mandatory, it means it's got to be done. It's got to be done. It is mandated. The question is, what is God mandated? In John chapter number 3 and verse number 3, Jesus is talking to a religious man, and he says in John chapter number 3 and verse number 3, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In verse number 5, he says, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And then he said in verse number 7, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. It is mandatory for you in order to see the kingdom of God. You're going to see the kingdom of God. And if you're going to enter into the kingdom of God, you must be born again. It is mandatory. God is not going to make any exceptions. Jesus Christ, being God, said, you know what? It is mandatory. Your first birth is not good enough. You need to be born from above. You need to be born again. It is mandatory. If you are going to what? See, and if you're going to enter into the kingdom of God, it is mandatory that you need to be born again. Nicodemus was a good man. Nicodemus, I believe, was a God-fearing man. He was a person that was seeking after God because he came to Jesus by night. But Nicodemus, even though he was all those things, he was still lost. And today, listen to me, the best person in the world still needs to be saved. Doesn't make any difference what religion you are. It is mandatory. M stands for? Mandatory. It's mandatory. You must be born again. All right? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. God has made terms of salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That brings me up to the next letter. Nicole, help me. All right? She said, oh, no, not me. All right, here you go. Stand right next to him. All right, turn around. This is the letter U. Now, this is what this stands for. It stands for you. All right? Y-O-U. And so, listen, I want you to understand that the must. M stands for? U stands for? Everybody point?
You.
Point to that person next to you. U stands for?
You.
All right? And listen, the U stands for everyone. Why? Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I want you to point to that person you just pointed to and say, you have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Can you do that? You have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I could probably say that twice, couldn't I, Lyle? Amen? That's his son, all right? He knows all of his shortcomings. And you know what? You're made in the image of your father, all right? So... Amen? So if he's a sinner and he's born in your image, that makes you a sinner. That's right. And so U stands for?
You.
You. And you know the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And so we need to understand that Jesus said, ye must be born again. Peter said in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12 that you must be saved. M stands for mandatory. U stands for
you.
All right. And everyone needs to be saved. The Bible says they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. And that includes
you.
So, in order to be saved, it is mandatory. Is there any exceptions? You cannot escape. You need to be saved. The you in must is for you. Now I want you to notice the third letter. Let's see. You want to come up? Help me? I don't find too many volunteers. She raised her hand. All right. Okay, here you go. This is the S. All right. This is the letter S. What is your name?
Gloria.
Gloria. All right. I thought it was Susan, you know, to match like Merrick, but I guess not. Okay, Gloria. And here we find the word S. What does S stand for? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be what?
Saved.
The Bible says we must be saved. But I want you to notice the word S, according to this verse, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other, what? Name. In Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 21, the Bible tells us very clearly, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Who is that talking about? It's talking about the Son of God. The S in Acts 4:12 and must, I think, stands for the Son of God. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name. That name of Jesus Christ. You know that name is special? You say, why do you know it's special? Because people curse His name all the time. I never heard anybody say, oh, Buddha or oh, Mohammed. But I hear people use Jesus Christ's name over and over and over in vain. I scold them for it, but they still do it. You know why? Because even the devil knows that there's power in that name. S stands for the Son of God. It stands for the Son of God. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He is the only Savior. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 19, verse number 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is what? Lost. That's talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God. In John chapter number 1, verse number 29, He said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Talking about the Son of God. Jesus said concerning Himself in John chapter 10, verse number 7, He said, I am the door of the sheepfold. He said, if somebody tries to climb up another way, the same as a thief and a robber. In Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse 7, it's talking about the Son of God. It says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So, M stands for? Mandatory. It's mandatory. If you're going to see, and if you're going to enter in, you must be saved. It's mandatory. And the U stands for you. Everybody needs to be saved. Everybody. That means you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and all of you need to be saved. That means you, and you, and you, and you, and me, and everyone. You say, well, they're a pretty good person. Nope. All of us. You need to be saved. The S stands for Son of God. He is the only way. There is not another Savior in this world. It is only Jesus Christ. It is not Grace Baptist Church. It's not the Catholic Church, the Lutheran Church, the Methodist Church, the Lutheran Church. It's not a church. It's the Savior. He alone can provide the sufficient sacrifice. And this is the record that God hath given to us His Son. In John, 1 John 5 and verse number 10, it says, and these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Listen, we need to remember, there are some things we must do. M stands for mandatory. U stands for you. S stands for Son of God. Kellen, come on up. He shot his hand up real high. I want to do it. All right. Come on up here. Stand down there next to the S. T. What does T stand for? It stands for today. It stands for today. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 2, it says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You see, today is the only day that you have an opportunity to get saved. If you wait till tomorrow, tomorrow may not come. It's today we have opportunity. Boys and girls, listen to me. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you have an opportunity today to get saved. Moms and dads, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have today to get saved. You say, well, I'll do it tomorrow. What happens if tomorrow doesn't come for you? I stopped at a care center over in Perrysburg, hospice care center. Witness to a man. He says, I'm all right, preacher. I'm all right. My pastor is coming in to talk to me. I says, well, I'm just concerned about you. He says, no, that's all right. He says, you know, I took him, started taking him through the Romans Road, showed him how to get saved. No. I'll take care of it later. About 5 hours after I left, he started screaming out and said, I feel like my feet are on fire. I feel like I'm on fire. There's something wrong. About 8 hours after I left, he died without Jesus Christ. And now not just his feet are on fire, but he's in the fires of hell. I'm here to tell you today, right now is the only time that you have to be saved. The T stands for today. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Harden not your hearts as it was in the day of provocation, the Scripture says. Today, we need to hear. We need to heed. We need to hearken unto the Word of God. Don't trifle with today's opportunities, because tomorrow it may be too late. So let's review this. In the context of Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And the M stands for?
Mandatory.
Jesus said, everybody needs to be saved. And the U stands for? You. No exceptions. All of us. And there's only one that can save us. It's the Son of God. S stands for the Son. And the T stands for today. How about it? What will you do with Jesus Christ? Let me take these. And you guys can have a seat. Thank you very much. They did a good job. Give them a hand, all right? Today, you need to decide who you're going to follow. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 30, He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. In Joshua 24 and verse number 15, Joshua said, And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Ammonites in whom land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So there's a decision that must be made. You say, well, preacher, you're not going to make me make a decision. Well, you realize that choosing not to choose is to choose not to choose, and so therefore you've already chosen not to choose, which made a decision. And that's just not a play on words. Say, well, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to leave this place and I'm going to leave lost. Then you've chosen to reject Jesus Christ. So today, while there is opportunity, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Make sure you hear, heed, and hearken unto God's great declaration, ye must be born again. Ye must be saved. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to ask a question this morning. And that question is this. If you were to die today and you were to stand before God, I wonder how many here with an uplifted hand could say, Preacher, there was a time in my life when I realized I was lost and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I realized that was mandatory for my life. And as a response to that question, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I won't call you out, I won't embarrass you, but I want to pray for you. How many here with an uplifted hand could say, Preacher, I know there was a time when I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. Can I see your hand today? I know that I'm saved. God bless you. You may put your hands down. Is there someone here today that could raise their hand and say, Pastor, according to what you said in the Bible, I realize it's mandatory For me to see and for me to enter into God's kingdom, it's mandatory that I must be saved. I've never been saved. Or maybe I'm not sure that I'm saved. If that's you, could you raise your hand? And I'll pray for you. God bless you. Anyone else? Pray for me. God bless you. Anyone else? In just a moment, I'm going to have a word of prayer. Piano's going to play. And I'm going to invite you to come and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Whether young or old, come and trust Him today. Maybe there's a burden on your heart as a Christian and you'd like to pray. I would encourage you. Find your place at the altar. If we want to see sinners walk the aisle and get saved, I believe that the child of God needs to wear out the path to the altar first. Father in heaven, Lord, I ask and pray that you just help these that raise their hand today. And Lord, if there is someone in our midst that you have convicted and drawn to you, I pray, Lord, that they would respond to the gospel invitation and trust you as their Savior today. Lord, I pray that you would work in hearts. Help us all to realize it's mandatory that we must be saved. I pray, Lord, now that you'd help each and every one of us that raised their hands and said that we know that we're saved. Help us, Lord, to live for you. Help us, Lord, to be a disciple for the Lord Jesus Christ. Guide and direct. We ask it in Jesus' name.